If you would, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. My subject this morning, the prayer warrior. Now, David's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. David was a worshiper, but David was a warrior. And that's what I love about David. One moment he's just loving God. The next moment he's just out slaying enemies and killing giants. Hallelujah. And that's the kind of spirit I want to get into this church right here, that we slay some giants and we all become prayer warriors. Now, we're living in perilous times, and we know we're in the last days. We can look at the indicators, the signs of the time. There's the COVID-19 crisis, which has resulted in layoff and financial disasters for many people. We're not all in the same boat. We're all in the same storm, and some boats have been affected more than others. So we're just reaching out to bless people. And then think about the signs of the time and what's happening. There's the upcoming presidential election. Radical tension and unrest has gripped this nation. It seems like we have become a lawless nation. And if the church has ever prayed, it certainly is time for the church to pray. Amen. And we need to pray until we prevail. And that's why prayer is such a sacred subject to my heart. And I promise you, you can become a prayer warrior. I was listening to Sister Suzanne's testimony. Dear Lord, what a radical change. She got into this service, and the warrior anointing is on her. Did you hear that this morning? Hallelujah. See, Christians pray, and it's just natural for Christians to pray. It's ordinary thing for Christians to pray. But there are some times that extraordinary prayer is called for. There are some battles that you cannot win with ordinary prayer. There are some times that the battle that you're facing, it requires extraordinary prayer. And you must understand the principles of prayer, what regulates certain types of prayer, and how to take these principles and apply them in the spirit world and come forth more than a conqueror. Amen? Now, Paul talks about praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Praying in the spirit is part of the whole armor of God. We put on the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, rather. That's Jesus. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. He's our righteousness. We have our loins girded about with truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. We have our feet shod. Man, when I was in Vietnam, we had combat boots, and we were shod. We had a little steel stuff that ran through those. And if you stepped on a pungent stake, guess what? It didn't penetrate. And you could keep on going. Hallelujah. Amen? You can relate to that, can't you? And he says, above all, take the shield of faith, that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then he says to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, this is the sword of the Lord. And if Jesus used the sword of the Spirit in his wilderness experience to defeat the devil, you're going to have to take this sharp two-edged sword and chop the devil down with the word of God. You can do it in the world of prayer. And most preachers, they stop right there when you talk about the whole armor. But Paul gives us one other little piece. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at Ephesians 6:18. Paul's saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then he says, and persevering, all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's imperative that you be filled with the Holy Ghost. That, you know, some people want to call it gibberish. My Bible says if a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he's not speaking unto men, he's speaking unto God. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. When I don't know how to pray, the Bible says that he gives us groanings, inarticulate expressions. And the Holy Ghost, he searches our hearts and prays the perfect will of the Father through us. Praying in the Holy Ghost is part of the whole armor of God. But you got to pray, as he said, until you prevail, till you persevere. See, we're not wrestling flesh and blood. And our warfare is a supernatural warfare. Therefore, you're going to have supernatural weapons. Now, we're in this world, but we've been born from another world. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And we've got God inside of us. We're his temple. He lives in us. He walks in us. He talks through us. He loves through us. He goes through us. Jesus was in a body on this earth. And when he left and went home to glory, he left a body called the church. Hallelujah. And we are to do his works. So this morning, you know, I want to tell you something. If you are not willing to fight and do spiritual battle, do not expect to win very many battles and victories in this life or in the world of prayer. My subject this morning, the prayer warrior. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the world of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this subject matter and for touching our hearts, O God, that we may pray winning prayers. We don't want to just speak words into the air, some religious form and tradition. No, we want our prayers to be ignited by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And we want to pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, a name above every name. And Lord, we want the devil to know that we know who we are. We can do what you said we can do. And praise God, we have what you said we have. And we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And we thank you for these blessings. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, that was an acrostic that was very popular a few years ago. And you've heard it. It was the word push. P-U-S-H. Push. Pray until you prevail. Pray until you prevail. Now, that was really an old idea that somebody put a new name on. Now, when I grew up, the old saint said it like this. Pray until you pray through. Have you ever heard that? Certainly you've heard that. Pray until you pray through. They call it praying through. Praying through to salvation. Praying through to sanctification. Praying through to the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Praying through to your divine healing. Praying through until you know that you know and that you're sure that you're sure. Praying through until you are sure in your spirit that the answer is on the way. That's what you call praying through. Now, I can remember my mom and my dad praying, and many times they would say, I'm praying, I have prayed through, and the answer is on the way. I remember them praying on certain matters until they prayed through. How many remember that? How many remember when the saints would get you in the altar and you had just gotten saved and they would pray you through to sanctification? They would pray you through to the baptism in the Holy Ghost. They would gather around you and just pray heaven's glory down and get you healed in Jesus' name. And they'd shake all over and bobby pins go flying out of the hair every way. They'd dance all over that place and the floors. They would go up and down like that. And I'm sitting there, a little boy on the pew. But I knew the glory of God was in that place. Hallelujah. They prayed until they prayed through. I remember one time when my daddy was sick. He was praying for a physical need. And some company showed up at our house and visited us at the home place there. And he visited with them for a moment. And then my daddy said, excuse me. Said, I've been praying about a matter. And I'm going to my bedroom and pray. And I'm going to pray until I'm healed. And once I'm healed, I'll be back. Now, he left the company with my mother and with us kids. He went to the bedroom, which was his prayer room. I can remember many times going by there and that door would be shut. I knew my daddy was in there talking to his God. He was reading his book or he was praying and he was calling my name. Lord, save that boy. His prayers, he prayed till he prayed through. Let me tell you, I couldn't get away from God no matter how hard I ran. Everywhere I went, everything I did, he was there. How many know what I'm talking about? Aren't you glad for those praying parents? Glory to God. Amen. But my daddy, he returned after about 15 minutes and he said, praise God, I'm healed. And he was. Amen. What did he do? He prayed until he prayed through. So He excused himself, went to that bedroom, and came back a healed man. How many have ever gotten to the verge of your breakthrough and you've heard the Holy Spirit speak to you and say, give me some time, and call you alone into the secret world of prayer? Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. We get so busy, if we're not careful, we don't hear the whispers of the Spirit sometimes. So, but I thought about it. When you grow up in the type of atmosphere like I grew up in, it will affect you. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And that's why, you know, they had a thing that said, prayer is better caught than taught. Prayer is better caught than taught, and it really is. If you want to learn how to pray, then get around some people who know how to pray, because prayer is better caught than taught. I want to tell you something. We have a prayer meeting every Friday night that we can get here. If I can't get it, somebody's here. You can't be here all the time, and I can't be here all the time. But guess what? We have a 24-year-old Friday night prayer meeting. And we have good attendance, too. And if you want to learn how to pray, come join us. Hallelujah. But you've got to learn how to pray. And then you've got to learn how to pray until you pray through. It's not just prayer. It's praying through this thing. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to pray. Listen to this now. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. I know it's inferred, but they asked the Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I think that's significant. Look at Luke 11 and 1. Luke 11 and 1, it came to pass that as he was praying, Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto us, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. He gave us the model prayer. And Pastor Ricketts did a great job Wednesday night on sharing a portion of that. And if you come back, I'll give you another barrel this Wednesday night. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about prayer for a little while. But if we will just follow the word of God and the leadings of the Holy Spirit, he will teach us how to pray. I'm convinced that prayer is more caught than taught. And if you'll get around people who know how to pray, you will become a prayer warrior. You will. Because prayer, you catch this thing. It comes on you. Because of the Spirit that's on other people, it will get on you. As a young Christian, I associated myself with the older saints because I knew they were prayer warriors and they knew how to pray. Dr. Lester Sumrall said, the most important part about prayer is just do it. He didn't say learn how to pray. He said learn to pray. And if you'll spend time in the world of prayer, you will learn the hows of it. And prayer is more caught than taught. I mean, you must pray until you prevail. My message this morning has 3 points to it. Number one, pray until you prevail over self. Number two, pray until you prevail over Satan. And number three, pray until you prevail with God. Point number one, pray until you prevail over yourself. Now, when you set your mind to pray, you will have to prevail over yourself if you're going to pray. Look at Matthew 6:24. Jesus said, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Why is it so hard to pray? Why is it that you'll experience 1,000 interruptions and diversions when you try to pray? Why is it so hard to focus and to intentionally set your will power to pray? Now, think about it like this. When you are praying for an unsaved person, you are praying in harmony with God's will. When you pray the word of God and you're praying a promise of God, you are praying in harmony with God. But you've got to also remember this. When you pray, you are praying in direct opposition to Satan and to the actions of all of his demonic forces. The devil will send assignments, demons, to hound your trail. He will put stuff on you if you let him. You've got to learn how to pray. Hallelujah. And you've got to learn to pray. So, and even if you're praying according to God's will, I want to tell you something. We will always be met by opposition from the devil. Phone calls. Look at this world of technology. Text messages. Emails. 1,000 things to do. I've come out here sometimes with just the intent of locking myself in the church and praying. And guess what? I begin to get all these ideas about what needs to be fixed. I get phone calls. And if I would do this and I would do that, and the devil is trying to pull me out of my world of prayer. I pray. We pray before you got here. Hallelujah. This praise is prayer condition. I will promise you that. Amen. But see, we're wrestling against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. Look at 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. Now, this right here will show you the battle. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We're not fighting flesh and blood, church. Look at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, they are not natural weapons. You got to have some supernatural weapons, all right? For the weapons of our warfare, they're not natural, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In other words, the devil is trying to set up a stronghold in your life and take your blessings from you. And you got to know that you're not wrestling flesh and blood. Your enemy is the devil. This election that we're going through, it is a war against evil and the goodness of God. It is a diabolical demon powers that have been unleashed on this nation. And people want to sit back and vote party. No! Vote the Bible, praise God. Get yourself lost in this word and pray, and the Holy Ghost will give you instructions. And I don't care how affiliated you are with any party. I'm not affiliated with any of them, but I got enough sense to read my Bible, and I got enough sense, praise God, to apply good spiritual principles. I'm not a baby killer. I love God and I love people, and I'm not going to endorse anybody that kills little babies. They dropped me at the first line when they said we are for abortion. Go on, praise God. We are for life. Jesus is for life. Praise God. You know, he is, in him was life. And the light shined into the darkness. Some people need some light to shine into that dark mind that's been corrupted by political things, and get the word of God in their hearts. And don't admonish me, because I love my country, praise God. I love my country, but I love Jesus supremely. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and I'm not ashamed to stand here and say, God bless the USA from sea to shining sea. God give us a great revival. As goes America, so goes the world, and you better believe it. The world is depending on us. My Lord and my God. Now, look at verse 5 here, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Casting down imaginations when you're praying, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And look at this, and bringing into captivity every thought. I told you 1,000 things would show up. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, see, there's a war going on. You may not know it. That is a warfare that is going on. And you will have to set your will to pray. It's not Lord teach us how to pray, but Lord teach us to pray. Now, Satan tries to seduce us, and he tries to get us to abort the world of prayer. He wants to abort little babies, and he will try to get you to abort the world of prayer also. He does that through imaginations. He does that through thought activity. And even strong believers, they are subject to the devil's suggestions. Let me say that again. Even the strongest believers, they are subject to the devil's and his demonic powers' suggestions. Now, in 1 Chronicles chapter, Satan succeeds in seducing David to number God's people. What could be so bad about counting your resources? I mean, if I'm going to build a building, I want to know, do I have the money? Jesus even gives us a parable about that. But what could be so bad about counting how many men in your army? See, David's strength was in the Lord. It was not in the number of people in his army. And God tried to tell him that through Joab. He said, don't do that. But David was hard-headed. He went and did it anyway. And Satan had tempted him, and David fell into the trap. I mean, this man, who is a man after God's own heart, fell into the trap that Satan had set. And he numbered God's people, and it cost him dearly. Satan guided Peter's thoughts in an encounter with Jesus. Remember that? Peter was unconsciously voicing the devil's suggestions. Jesus said, I got to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to be raised the third day. And Peter took the Lord and rebuked him. He rebuked the Lord himself. Look at this, what Peter said, Matthew 16:22. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. He's talking to Jesus. Be it far from thee, Lord. He called him Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But what did Jesus? What do you think that thought came from? Came from the devil, didn't it? You better believe it. Look at what Jesus said, Matthew 16:23. But he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savest not the things of God. In other words, you're not mindful of the things of God, but those that be of men. Now, Jesus is not calling Peter Satan, but he's saying the spirit behind that is Satan. Get thee behind me, you devil of darkness. Some of you need to tell the devil that. Get out of my body. Get out in Jesus' name. Get out of my finances. Get out of my home. Get out of my marriage. Get out. I've got authority. I've got power. I'm anointed. I'm a child of the King. I command you to go. And guess what? That devil will leave you if you suit it up. Hallelujah. My Lord. Now, James and John, I thought about them. They were ready to wipe out an entire city and call down fire from heaven to destroy it. What was their problem? Well, the Samaritans lived there, and they really hated the Samaritans. You know what? They didn't have the love of God in their heart at this time. They didn't. They're following Jesus, but they missing something big. You know, Jesus got to go to the cross and be resurrected so everybody can be born again. And I know that blows the religious world's mind, but you know, what is the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. And so you just got to take the Bible and get lost in the book and pray, and the Holy Ghost will show you a lot of treasures. Amen. But look at this now. It was the spirit in these two individuals, John and James, the sons of thunder. John would later become John the Beloved. You've seen his picture there in the Lord. He's the one nearest to the Lord with his head laid over on the chest of Jesus. Now, look at Luke 9:54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven to consume them as Elias did? This is the same place that Elijah had called the fire down from heaven. But, verse 55, but he turned and Jesus, he rebuked them and said, you know not, look at this, what manner of spirit you are of. How can people be filled with the Holy Ghost and not love their pastor? I don't know. I really don't know. You know, but look at this. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. If you don't love me, you ought at least pray for me. I'm doing the best I can. Say, Lord, help that boy. Please help him. It don't matter if you call me boy. Hallelujah. I'm encouraged if you call me boy. Amen. Look at Luke 9:56. For the Son of Man, here's a real sermon, is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another city. What I want you to see is this, that even the most spiritual among us, they temporarily lapse into uncharacteristic displays of weakness. None of us are home yet. There is a devil, and he's after you. So suit up. and go after him. Hallelujah. I do. I love to go after him. Hallelujah. Now, that's why we must be suited up with the whole armor, and we must be full of the Holy Ghost at all times. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, I promise you, you will have a hunger to pray. You'll want to get to the house of God, and when you can't get there, you'll let others know, I can't make it, but I want to come. See, that's why I love being full of the Spirit, because the Holy Ghost calls us to the world of prayer. I can be doing something in my mind on many other things, and I feel him call me. He may bring you to my mind. He may bring somebody to my mind, and I say, Lord, bring this person to my mind so I can pray for them. See, I know that in the battles of life, there are times that you're going through a struggle, and you may not even know how to pray. But God will call some saint aside and say, pray for them. That's why we need one another. We need the church so much. See, a spirit-filled person, they rejoice in the extra time that they get to spend in prayer. A spirit-filled person is willing to sacrifice other things in order to come and pray. Oh, there are so many things I love. I've had people that ask me to do certain things. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, it's nothing wrong with it. I said, I'm not going to do it. I spent too much time alone with God and in the pages of this book to sacrifice my anointing by engaging in anything like that. The Holy Ghost will talk to you if you listen to him. Lord, teach us to pray. So the first thing you must prevail over in the world of prayer is you must prevail over yourself. Secondly, you must pray until you prevail over Satan. Now, Satan and his demonic forces, they do not want you to learn, Sister Brenda, the secrets of prayer. Church, they don't want you to know the secrets of prayer. The devil fears your prayers more than the work you do for God and more than the witnesses that you do in your daily activity. If the devil can keep me preaching and can keep you singing and keep us working, he's okay. Because more than anything else, the devil fears your prayers. He does not want you alone listening to God. What would you say to me, Lord? How, Lord, do I win this battle? How, Father? Show me, Holy Ghost. Teach me. Give me that secret for my breakthrough. Have you ever talked to God like that? If not, why not? He's waiting on you. Hallelujah. He's a great God. You know, the devil would rather that you work all day long than spend 1 hour in prayer. He does not want me to pray. He wants me to preach. He wants me to work. He'll put 1,000 things on my plate, but I've learned how to go back to God every 15 minutes of my day, and I whisper, I quote a scripture, or I pray. You may not even know it. You're in my presence, but I'm just got an internal time clock because I timed it years ago to do that. So the devil would rather for you to work all day in God's kingdom than spend 1 hour in prayer. And here's the reason for that. Spiritual victories are won through spiritual warfare. You must become a prayer warrior. Spiritual victories are won through spiritual warfare. If you don't engage the enemy through spiritual warfare, how can you expect to win any victory? How can you have the mind of Christ? How can you overcome a supernatural force that has been unleashed against you? Now, you never had this problem until you were born again. You belonged to the devil, and whatever he said do, you did it. But you got born again, and now he tries to divert you and from prayer and divert you from holy living. If you don't engage the enemy, you cannot win. People often, they ask me, they say, Brother Jerry, Pastor, will you pray for me? And they are shocked when I just stop right there and I pray for them. But you see, I learned as a military man, if I don't engage the enemy in warfare, I'm not going to win any battles. So I engage whenever the opportunity is there, because I know that I have power from God, and there's power in prayer. Look at this now. Luke 10:19. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power," exousia, that's authority in the newer version, "to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power," that word is dunamis in the Greek, "over all the power of the enemy." So the devil has power. You are not wrestling flesh and blood. You better be suited up and covered from head to toe with the whole armor and full of the Holy Ghost and living the life that God has called you to live, because the devil will laugh in your face if you're not. You remember the seven sons of Sceva in the Bible? They come to this man. They said, "Come out of him, you devil." And the demon spoke out of that man and said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" And those demons came out and whipped those men, tore their clothes off, and they went running. I tell you something, praise God, on the authority of God's word, when you got Jesus on the inside working on the outside and you say, "Come out, you devil," he knows who you are. And when he knows who you are and he knows you know who you are, he knows he's got to go. Glory to God. Now, I don't know how many times I've quoted that scripture in my preaching. Hundreds, maybe thousands. I asked my wife, says thousands. She said, "Are you going to quote that again?" I said, "Quote it to me. Tell me what that first word power means in the Greek, and tell me what that second word power means in the Greek, and go to the book of Ephesians in chapter 1 and tell me what that word kratos means." So we rehearsed this stuff. Dominion, she got it right. Now, how can you live around somebody, you know, that's going to talk Jesus all the time and not learn? Amen? Hallelujah. So, how many of you have memorized Luke 10:19? Don't show your hand, but I encourage you, go memorize that and learn the authority that the Lord has given you. So, first of all, you have to pray until you prevail over yourself. Secondly, you've got to pray until you prevail over the devil. And if you don't know that you have authority over all the power of the devil, do you think he's going to leave when you command him to? No, he won't. But when he knows, you know, he knows he's got to go. When you act on the word of God in the authority of the name of Jesus, the devil knows he is subject to the believer, because you are speaking in the authority of the name of Jesus. You've been given the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. I saw that years ago. I was reading behind a good writer, and he said, "You have power of attorney." I said, years later, I had power of attorney over my daddy's stuff. I could take my daddy's checkbook and write a check. Man, he had money too, but I had the checkbook. You know, people know your character. He said, "Son, I want you to do this because I know you would do it the way I would do it." One of the greatest compliments he could ever pay me, that he had instilled something inside of me, godly principles. You know, the Great Commission is given in five places in the Bible. I love the Great Commission given in Mark's Gospel. Look at this. Mark 16:17. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." I got any believers in here? Raise your hand. Let the devil see it. Hallelujah. "In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents." That's the devil. "Put him under your feet. They drink any deadly thing and shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Jesus said, "These signs shall follow believers." I read that. I said, "Praise God, I can do it. I believe I can do it." I have never followed signs. Some people, they go from one church to the other saying, "Oh, God's over here doing this and God's over here doing that." I have followed Jesus and signs have followed me. simply because I believe. How many know what I'm talking about? Have you seen any signs at all in this church? Have you seen any glory poured out? Have you seen any miracles and seen any healing? It's because we got a church full of believers, prayer warriors, that will pray until we prevail. Glory to God. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. If you are willing to fight the good fight of faith, you will get some great victories in life. But you got to pray until. Pray until you prevail. Now, Daniel's prayer was granted, but for 21 days, his answer was delayed. It was delayed by demonic power. He was called the Prince of Persia. Gabriel said, God heard you the first day, said, but I was detained by the Prince of Persia. A foul demon spirit was trying to keep Daniel from getting his answer from God. And God looked over and saw the warfare going on, and he dispatched Michael, the warrior angel. And he went, and Gabriel broke through and said, Daniel, you're a man highly favored of God. You wonder how favored you are? God's favor is on you for a lifetime. Hallelujah. Even if you mess up, his anger endures but a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Now, if Daniel had not fasted, now he's really moving out. And fought that prayer battle for 3 weeks, 21 days. If he had stopped one day short, he would never have achieved his victory. And guess what? We would not have the 10th chapter of Daniel in our Bible. If the woman with the issue of blood had not pressed her way to Jesus, her story would not be in the Bible. If Naaman had not dipped 7 times in obedience to what the prophet of God said, guess what? He would have died a leper, and his story would not be in the Bible. And if you don't pray and prevail over Satan and pray until the heavens open up, boy, we were singing about it this morning, hallelujah, you will never get your victories. Thank God there's power in prayer. And let me ask this. If you ask God for something, even though it's in his will and he has purposed it for your life, if you don't prevail in prayer, you will never get that promise. The devil will see to it. And you better believe it. The battles that I have won in the world of prayer. Hallelujah. Number one, pray until you prevail over self. Number two, pray until you prevail over Satan. Number three, pray until you prevail with God. Now, God will test your earnestness. I said God will test your earnestness. He will test your desires. He will. That's why I'm a praiser. Now, praise is one of the most powerful weapons in your arsenal. Prayer is power. But when you couple prayer with praise, you can blow the devil out of the atmosphere. I'm telling you. You can blow him out of the atmosphere. I learned that as a young Christian. I learned the power of praise, that you could literally shift the atmosphere through your praise. Hallelujah. That's why I love the Psalms of David. Look at what David said in Psalms 9, verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Look at Psalms 86 and 12. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. Look at Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. David said, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my body, with everything that's in me, he said, I am going to praise the Lord. Now, I want you to look at the power of praise concerning spiritual warfare. This is Psalms 149, verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in your mouth. You cannot think of praise. They got to be in your mouth. I got scripture for that one. I say, you can't think of praise. People say, I'm thinking one. No. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a sharp two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. Dishonor as all the saints of God. Praise ye the Lord. In other words, we have the honor as saints of God to execute judgment in spiritual warfare. And when we shout, praise the Lord, it's an honor that God, woo, God has given us that honor to, from the depths of our born-again spirit, Rashima, Roma Shataya, praise the Lord, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us rejoice and be glad, hallelujah. Man, when you start praying like that, devils start scattering like scalded dogs would run from you. Hallelujah. See, when we speak the high praises of God, it's like a sharp two-edged sword in our hand. Don't listen to the devil's lies. Learn to talk praise. Learn to praise God. Make the devil listen to your praise. Shift the atmosphere. Shift it. See, I come in here sometime, and we get to praising. I feel a shift going on. Woo! Glory. I feel it just shifting all over in the atmosphere. Glory. I feel a shift. Glory to God. People say, do you have to act like that? Yes, praise God. I'm going to praise Him. Matter of fact, I'll just take a little praise break. And the Lord and I, we'll have some fellowship if it's all right with you. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's the Most High. Be healed, I said in Jesus' name. The atmosphere is shifting. Glory to God when we praise the Lord. Glory to God. The Bible says we execute vengeance upon our enemies. We bind kings with chains. We bind nobles with iron. Fetters of iron. Praise is a powerful weapon. Matter of fact, I wrote this down, praise is the battle axe. Woo! 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 Glory! Can I get a hallelujah out there? Woo! Glory! Woo! Hallelujah! Glory! Glory, 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 glory! Hallelujah! I praise you, Lord! I praise you! I praise you for your presence! I praise you for your miracle working power! I praise you for who you are! I praise you! Lord, you inhabit the praises of your people! Hallelujah! Lord, you dwell in the atmosphere of praise. Do you know that right now in the glory world that the angels of God are praising Him constantly? God dwells in the midst of praise. If you get rid of those old religious demons that try to keep you from lifting your hands and dancing and praising God, you'll be shocked at the miracles that will show up in your life. Hallelujah! 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 Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Glory! Glory! Satan is paralyzed. Satan is rendered helpless in the atmosphere of praise. I told you the angels in the glory world, they just praising God right now. Hallelujah. The 24 elders, they fell down and worship Him that sat on the throne, saying, hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. 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 Just start praising Him till all of a sudden you shift over into the Holy Ghost language. Woo! You get to praise Him enough, You'll just go right into the river. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Pastor Ricky. Glory.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Every praise is to our God.
Hallelujah!
Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah. Woo! To our God. Every praise, yes, every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, one accord.
Hallelujah!
Every praise.
Glory!
Every
Woo!
Praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory, hallelujah to our God.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Oh, every praise is to our God.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus.
God,
thank
my
you,
Savior,
Lord.
God, my healer,
hallelujah.
God, my deliverer,
come in.
Yes, He is,
in a white shirt,
yes, he
come
is.
In.
Oh, my healer, my deliverer, shout it out. Oh, yes, He is. I said, yes, He is. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God.